So, Reverend Hescox, I wondered if you could start by telling me the evolution of your thinking about Mercury.
Well, actually, our thoughts about Mercury began as far back as 2005. We've long addressed that Mercury was a problem and it affected the life of the unborn. And we actually, as an organization, marched in the Right to Life, marched back in January of that year, carrying a sign that says Mercury impacts the unborn. Then actually, in May of 2010, I walked from Manstead, West Virginia, which is the home of Christian for the Mountains, to Washington, D.C., about 330 miles. And while I was on this 18-day journey, I happened to pass on a Saturday morning some fishermen fishing in the headwaters of the Shenandoah River. And I basically wanted to jump in the water and join them. But as I was walking literally 40 feet down the road was a great big sign that said, "Do not eat the fish from the Shenandoah River because of mercury poisoning." And that really heightened my awareness again. And then for the past year and a half, I have been working very steadily to draw public attention to the fact that 1 in 6 children in the United States are born with threatening levels of mercury in their body. And the largest single source of domestic mercury comes from the burning of coal in coal-fired utilities, electric generating stations.
So you've been at this for quite a while. It sounds like you're telling me, rather than this being a difficult process, that it was sort of a no-brainer for you.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm an evangelical Christian, and I'm pro-life on every count, from not believing to abortion, yet being graceful for those that have had it, to understanding that the public health risks from the environment to our unborn children are extremely significant. In fact, I believe that, you know, our kids have enough time growing up right now that they don't need to be impacted and their health impacted, especially by environmental degradation. And so I do all that I can to try to help us to clean up God's creation, to get the chemicals out of it that are really impacting our children.
Can you tell me a little bit about the response that you've gotten from your fellow faithful?
Well, I think a large percentage of evangelicals have come on board with us. We have partnered in our most recent fight, actually as far back as 2005, with the National Association of Evangelicals. We had well over 100 senior evangelical leaders join with us on this effort this year alone. And this effort went from people like Leith Anderson, the president of the National Association of Evangelicals, to more conservative pastors, Rick Joyner, the founder of Rick Joyner Ministries, the leader of the Oak Initiative, a very conservative politically and theological group, have joined us in this effort to stop mercury from coal-fired power plants. You know, they realize that not only does this impact children, but 44% of our lakes and about 42% of the rivers in the United States exceed standards for mercury poisoning. And that keeps growing. The latest numbers from the United States Geological Survey show even 2010, the numbers can continue to increase. So we're just poisoning our God's creation, and we're taking away the things like family fishing, recreational activities that many of us have enjoyed who are natural outdoors people. So I would say we've had broad support. There have some that have not, obviously. And any time you take a stance on any issue, there are those that think that we should keep using coal and not have any pollution controls. But for the large part, I think we have many evangelicals with us, as well as the Catholic Church. The U.S. Catholic Conference of Bishops has joined with us and written statements, their own letters, supporting a national standard for mercury reduction from coal-fired power plants.
When you said you've been joined by 100 leaders in this effort, which effort were you referring to?
Every year we hold a National Day of Prayer for Creation Care. And this year, because of the EPA announced rolling back in March that they were going to actually start enforcing the mercury and air toxin standard, we decided to make this year that the effort of our National Day of Prayer. And so we started in that kickoff in May of actually inviting evangelical leaders to join us in Washington to sign this statement, to go and visit EPA, to visit members of Congress, to tell them that we wanted a national standard to protect our unborn children. And so that's been our efforts really since this year, and hopefully that will come to completion when EPA does a final release of its rule on the mercury and air toxic standards for power plants.
So you've been in the offices of members of Congress telling them that this is something that you support?
Oh, absolutely. And we've been in over 50 Senate offices. I can't tell many how many House offices, but well over 100. Especially those who pronounce to be evangelical or Catholic Christians and who demonstrate an affinity to life issues, especially pro-life issues, that we've been there calling them to account, saying that, you know, if you're really pro-life, you need to be pro-life on all counts. And that's what our message has been, not a real beat-up message, but a real asking them if their faith is important to them and life is important to them, shouldn't you be concerned about what Mercury does to our unborn children?
And are they surprised to hear this argument? Is it the first time that someone is connecting these dots for them?
Yes. In fact, I would say that there are many senators and even many congressmen who were probably not happy with this. Those who were really pro the utility industry and other people were really surprised at our message. Some really were thankful that they heard this message. They never heard it highlighted in this way before. But others were pretty chagrined that evangelical Christians and this air of anti-regulations would come out and say that this is a regulation that we support. And I think, like many evangelicals, I don't want to see unnecessary regulations. But I also believe that all people, including corporations, are sinners. And they'll do what's in their best interest first, not necessarily what's in the best interest of our unborn children. And so we wanted to highlight that this is a necessary regulation. It's something that needs to happen to protect our kids, and that's worth paying for. It's worth doing.
In the great scheme of things that you're concerned about, how strong is your concern about mercury?
I would say it's number one or number two in our concern, and this year it's certainly number one. And remember, this is something that lasts a lifetime. I mean, once the children suffer these developmental difficulties, they'll be with them the remainder of their life. They won't be the productive citizens they could be. And that's one of the reasons this is so strong to us, that this really is a lifetime impact on the children of the United States.
Mm-hmm. I hear you being very, very clear and very fact-based. And I wonder if there's another way you think of it as well. Is there a spiritual aspect to the loss of potential that also motivates you to be involved in this or make it a high priority?
Well, absolutely. And both in Luke's gospel and Mark's gospel and Matthew's gospel, Jesus says, don't do anything to hinder the children from coming to him, from knowing him. And I think this is a tremendous moral obligation that when we impact and affect the developmental brains of our children, we're hindering them from having a relationship with God, from having a relationship with other people, from truly being all that God would have them to be. And so more than anything else in the Bible, Jesus tells us to protect the least of these. And I would say to you that an unborn child in its mother's womb is the least of these ever possible in the world.
What will you see as a success, Reverend? And what's your eventual hope for the world we live in this regard?
Well, I believe that, you know, the number one hope is that the EPA will issue its rule this week. Is again called the MATS rule or the utility MAC rule, that will reduce 91% of the mercury that's in coal from being emitted in the atmosphere. That's the number one step. Secondly, we have to have an international treaty on mercury because air knows no state or country boundaries. There is no doubt that in the Pacific Ocean and in areas like California and Washington and Alaska, we get depositions from mercury as far away as India and China. So we have to urge them to clean up their act as we clean up our act. And we have to, and it's a priority of the United Nations, and it's something that we need to be multilateral about cleaning up the mercury all out throughout the world.
It strikes me that an alliance between your groups and groups that have been concerned also traditionally about children's environmental health, it could be a very strong political coalition on these issues. Do you see that coming together?
Well, I think that there is some already coming together on that right now. I mean, the Children's Environmental Health Network were at our Senate briefing that we did with the Catholic Bishop's Office just 2 weeks ago in Washington. They were very supportive. And I think probably the only difference that might separate us is that, you know, there are some medical organizations and health organizations that aren't comfortable with us being a complete pro-life organization. And that may be the only barrier, but we certainly are not going to back away from us being pro-life in every aspect.
And it doesn't bother you too much to be working with them since they're not pro-life?
Well, I think we're going to evaluate that on a case-by-case basis. Sometimes it does work out, but those who that have very strong positions on abortions and complete stem cell research, those are things that we will have to take a look at, because we are not going to recommend either of those two things, because that's who we are as evangelicals. We believe that life is sacred, and we're going to do nothing that would take away our stance. It was very interesting to me, just a little anecdotal story. Back in May, I testified at an EPA hearing on this upcoming regulation at the Philadelphia hearing. And I started out by saying that, you know, I'm an evangelical Christian. I think it's totally wrong for us to have, you know, 1.4 million abortions a year. And by the way, mercury, you know, threatens 600,000 lives. And there were gasps in the room from those in the environmental community that were had a little different opinion on what pro-life means than I do. But that's okay.
Well, Reverend Mitchell Hescox, thanks so much for joining me today.
Oh, you're quite welcome. It was my pleasure. And please, I will pray for you, and I hope you'll pray for us and continue us to move forward on this issue.
Reverend Mitchell Hescox is president and CEO of the Evangelical Environmental Network.